Blog Talk Radio.
Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises, and the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south, and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me, and my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is but a striving after wind, for in much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow.
Bible. Amen.
Chapter 2. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the children of man. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil. And this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity, and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. So I turned to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can a man do who comes after the king? Only what has already been done. Then I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, and there is more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I perceive that the same event happens to all of them. Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For of the wise as of the fool there is no enduring remembrance. Being that in the days to come all will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies just like the fool. So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and a striving after wind. I hated hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toil, and use my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is of vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. It's also his vanity and a striving after wind. Chapter 3.
Get into God. But that's exactly what people do. Well, I just, you know, and I think about this, people say, well, I'm different. How are you different? That in itself is an act of pride. Well, I know God saves sinners, but I know so-and-so, but, no. If I'm willing to believe God, he'll turn my inadequacy into something that is strong and good and right. But when people don't, there are results. And as we've said before, there'll always be something missing in that person's life. Because unless you're living in the will of God, you're not going to have a sense of the fullness of his presence and his power in your life. It's not going to be there. And if you just decide you're not worthy, in other words, there's something about you that God could, and I've heard people say, well, God would never bless me that way. Who says so? And besides that, what proof do you have? You don't have any proof. And it's interesting in the scripture that God uses all kinds of characters. And the wonderful thing about God is he doesn't cause us to measure up and then choose us. Well, after you've measured up, I'm going to do this and so. No. He takes inadequacy. God takes our inadequate areas of life, and he uses them to do something in their life that's worthwhile. Now, there are two areas I think that are most important in this whole issue, and that is when a person is called of God, the Spirit of God speaks in their heart, to save them, and they say no. And they say, well, you don't know how much sin I've committed doesn't make any difference. You don't know how bad I've been. You don't know how I've treated people. You don't know of all the things I've done in my life that God couldn't possibly save me when I've done what I've done in my life, and I'm ashamed, and here I am, I've wasted most of my life. I'm 60 years old or 70 or 80 or whatever it might be, or 40, and look at the terrible life I've lived. Look at all the heartache and pain I've caused other people. And you mean to tell me God's going to save me? Yes. Yes, he will. And the worst thing in the world is to feel like God can't change your life. He majors on that. And it has nothing to do. Somebody will say, well, you know, I believe he'll save me, but I can't live that kind of life. And I always say, well, neither can I. None of us can do it in our own strength. We would all have a sense of inadequacy. Think about it. To be feeling inadequate, to live in this crazy, mixed up, sinful, godless age we live in, and to live a holy, righteous life. Yes, we can if we are willing to trust God, rely upon him, believe him, and walk in the Spirit of God. So the very idea that a person would not give his life to Christ because you think you can't live it, join us. Nobody can live it apart from Almighty God. You say, well, you don't deserve it. Neither do we. No person's ever deserved, listen, no person's ever deserved the saving grace of God that comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ at the cross. None of us deserve that. You will not deserve it. You'll never deserve it. You'll die and be lost if you wait until you deserve it. We come just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. That's the way all of us got saved. And therefore, if you wait till you feel adequate, I can live the Christian life, I can handle it, It'll never happen. So two major areas. Number one, when he calls you for salvation, and secondly, when he calls you for service. If you reject Christ in those two areas, you will never have a life that is fulfilling, no matter how much money you make, how much notoriety you get. You'll never feel, you'll never be satisfied with yourself. Think about it. You know people as well as I do have got everything. Everything you can imagine. If they don't have the thing, they got the money to buy it. They're miserable. They go from one wife or one husband to the other. They've got to make more money, and nothing satisfies them well. The only satisfaction is to be in the will of God, trusting Him, believing Him. And I think about men whom God has called to preach the gospel, and for some reason they've rejected Him. I've never met a single person called of God who rejected God's call, who had any happiness, any peace, or any success in their life. Never. Now, I've met a lot of folks, and never. There's always some excuse. So listen, feeling inadequate is okay if you're willing to deal with it and recognize you have a Heavenly Father that can handle anything He calls you to do. Now, more than likely, you've thought about something that you feel inadequate about. So I ask you a question, what are you going to do about it? You're going to say, oh, yes, that's the way I feel. Or are you going to trust Him no matter what? And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, friends, you're lost. And you know what? You're living in this. You're trying to do it on your own. If you've never trusted Him as your Savior, I know that you feel inadequate about things. Sure you do. No matter how much you have, how much you own, how many marriages you've had, how many things you've accomplished in life, without Jesus, you still feel inadequate. Because there is only one thing that, listen, gives you that feeling of completeness and wholeness, and that is the Son of God living within you, because you confessed and repented of your sins, trusted your life to Him, and let Him begin to work in your life. Well, if you never trusted Christ as your Savior, let me ask you a question. If you haven't, can you give me a better time than right now? You say, well, maybe tomorrow you could be dead. Well, I'm going to do it one of these days. Who says you're going to have one of these days? The wisest thing you can do is say, Lord, I've sinned against you. I'm asking you to forgive me, not because I deserve it, but because I need forgiveness and cleansing. I surrender my life to you right now. Receive Christ as my personal Savior, thanking you for His death on the cross. And Lord, here's my life. By your grace, would you save me? And His answer is yes. And that's my prayer for you. Until you do that, you're going to always feel something's not there. You know why? Because you can't fill up with things that which only the Spirit of God can fill in your life. He's available. He's ready. If you're willing to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and watch Him work.